word and in our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. I remember when I used to sing this a long time ago. It's an old, when I used to say, an old Baptist hymn. And until somebody corrected me, I said, no, it's not a Baptist hymn. It's a Christian hymn. Okay, all right, yeah. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds in our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. I like the way it starts, when we walk with the Lord, because that is the secret. If you walk disconnected of him, you'll always stumble. But when we walk with him, nothing can make us stumble, because we are walking in the light. He is the light, and he is also the road. Isn't that, that's interesting, isn't it? The way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. Okay, I was going to give a very long study about how then should we walk. There's a question of how then shall we live, how then should we live, or, but I kind of like the walking part. Does anybody like to walk in this congregation? Walk? Just walk? Walk the dogs. And I was walking my dog 1 week ago, and she, how do you say, got loose. The collar got open, and she got out, and she went towards a car, and she, like that, she, how do you say, charged. She wanted to catch the car, and I heard thump thump. I said, "Well, Lord, I think I'm gonna bury my dog in the morning. That'll be one less thing." So no, nothing happened. She was just her old self in the morning, bushy tail. So I guess it's better to have a Heinz 57 than a purebred, isn't it? Purebred are very delicate. They need more TLC. So I like Coco. She's a Heinz 57. She's half Labrador, half Cocker Spaniel, half... No, cannot be... several halves. That's too many halves. Okay, but yeah, she's good. She's a good dog. Okay, let's go to Genesis 3:8. Oh, sorry. I sent George the wrong copy, so we're gonna start with the wrong ones and. You got the new ones now?
Yeah, I got the new
ones. You got my copy?
The new one.
Huh?
Mark 7, yeah.
You got
the
my
one?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The one that says master is
yeah.
Yeah, no. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, let's go to Genesis 3:8 anyway. Genesis 3:8. This is the first occurrence? How do you say? Am I putting the accent in the wrong syllable? Okay. This is the first occurrence of the word walk. And I think it's very interesting. We always, there's a hermeneutical principle, always pay attention to the first occurrence of anything. In this case, the word walk. Genesis 3:8, and it says, they heard, who is they? Adam and Eve. They heard the sound of the Lord God calling in the garden. Now, can you imagine what he sounds like? It's okay to imagine things, you know. I mean, as long as you don't make it the doctrine of this is how it is, you know. My imagination says this is, you know. But we have very good imagination. They heard the sound of the Lord. I imagine, or I think, they knew when he was coming, or when they knew exactly who he was. The sound of the Lord, they heard it, and it wasn't anybody else. It was the Lord. It was very well identifiable. Walking in the garden. Now, this is very interesting. Does the Lord have feet? Foot? Feet? How can the Lord be walking in the garden? Well, I remember Abraham, when the Lord came to him and he was passing through, and Abraham says, "No, stay here, I'm going to cook for you," and he did. And they were walking, him and three other angels, or two more angels. It seems to me like this was a familiar thing to do. They heard him coming, and they heard his footsteps per se, and walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That sounds for me, that pictures in my mind a very refreshing, scenery, trees, plants, and good weather, and somebody walking and getting some fresh air. That's very nice. I miss my country. You can get the temperatures of 51 degrees at this time of the year at night and put two blankets and to sleep and look at the stars and look at the rain. No mosquitoes. No. But anyway, I imagine things like that because I have a very good imagination. But anyway, and the man and the wife, the first part of the verse is a beautiful, beautiful part. It pictures the Lord coming. He wants fellowship with his creation. He doesn't need it because he's self-sufficient. But he looks for them. They're not looking for him. They're somewhere else. Something just happened, and you know why. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. Now, they didn't do that before. I bet you they craved, they needed that presence. And they felt good in his presence. They hid among the trees of the garden. Why did they hid? They were ashamed. They had fear. Something had happened. Something changed. Not for the best, for the worst. And thanks to that decision, we inherit something that's called the sin of Adam. And here we are. Anyway, I think about the Lord walking in the garden, looking for fellowship with Adam and Eve. And I think about the word walking, just walking. And I wanted to do a word study of all the times in the Bible that this word occurs. Well, this is the first one. Now, it's a very long study, so I'm not going to have time to go through the whole Old Testament. Let's just go to the New Testament. And specifically, go to the book of Ephesians. Now, if we cover the book of Ephesians, then we can go to Mark, and then after Ephesians, to Revelation. So, let's start with Ephesians, the letter to the Ephesians, and let's start with chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Too many papers in here. I don't get confused. All right. Now, for those of you who want to investigate the word that the writers of the Greek New Testament used, I just put it there for your curiosity. Now, I left some at the end, some verses without the Greek, so that's going to be for you to investigate. So, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. You remember that verse because we memorized Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 in Sunday school, remember? For grace you have been saved through faith, and that none of yourselves, because it is a gift of God, not through works, so anybody should boast. And then we didn't memorize verse 10, but verse 10 is very important. It says how we should walk. For we are his workmanship. Now think about the word workmanship. The word workmanship. We are his. He made us new creatures. We are different people because we believe in Christ. We have a lot of blessings that the world does not have. We are very different. We're priests, we're kings, we're his sons and daughters. We are seated with him. I cannot finish telling you everything we have due to our position in Christ. But we are his workmanship. It's something he does. We didn't do it. We're not our own workmanship. We didn't manufacture ourselves. He did it. He made us sons. We didn't become his sons automatically when we were born. Well, when we believed in Christ, we became his children. We were his creatures. We became his children. And he's still putting the chisel and the hammer and making us how he wants us to be. His workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works. That is the reason we are here. For good works. So good works have a legitimate place in the Christian life. Right? Okay. Which God prepared beforehand so that we would, what? Walk in them. So how should we walk? In good works. Works produced through Christ, because of Christ. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 4:1. Therefore I, Paul is writing, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Now, who called us? Who has called us? Who selected us? Christ. And he wants us to work in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Notice, he didn't say, try to walk. He didn't say, try to be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. He set the standard. And the standard is not like this and it's not like that. It's just his standard. In a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. We have a very high standard. And in our flesh, it is impossible to walk or to measure ourselves with that standard. The flesh cannot accomplish this. It's only the Spirit. It's only Christ in us. We walking with him. Us walking with him. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. So this I say and affirm, together with the Lord that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. If you look at the Greek here in this verse, it's very, very interesting. You have the word no longer, and then you have the word you all. Then you have the word peripatein, which means to walk. This is the famous word that Drew uses for stop it. Stop walking like everybody else. Stop comparing yourselves to the world. You're not. You live in the world and you use the world, but don't let the world use you. And it says that, like the Gentiles that walk in the word futility is the word matayoti or matayoteti here, pronounced matayoti. The eta is pronounced e too. So that's the word for vacuum, vanity, vacuum. Well, you know how vacuum works. You remember the good old television sets that everybody is, you know, thrown in the trash now? Those big television sets that things that can cause a divorce, you can find them in the trash now, you know. And I used to, when they were old, I used to take a hammer and crack, you know, we were going to throw them in the trash. So crack the big screen, and you used to hear a it wasn't an explosion, it was an implosion, because it had vacuum in it. And it was very interesting to see all the glass go inside and instead of coming out. Yeah. And so the same thing works with the vacuum in the soul. The vacuum in the soul absorbs trash. And if you get full of trash, then trash in, trash out. That's why we are here, studying the scriptures. The Paul wants us to walk not in the futility of our mind. That means we have to fill our souls with something else, with Christ. Let's go to Ephesians 5:2. Starting from verse 1. Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. You know, the children imitate the father. That's a normal thing. You know? And walk in love. God is love. It says walk in love just as Christ also loved you. He gave you, now we are to give. Love is a very, very interesting subject. Usually we become experts after a very terrible experience about love, you know. We learn very, very interesting lessons about love. We as Christians should know what love is, what real love is. You ask any unbeliever, and they, can you define love for me? And you know what they think about? The first thing they think about is, I don't have that romance thing anymore. That's all they think about. I don't listen to the same songs, that, you know, I don't look at the moon the same way. They think about emotional, romantic love, which has, you know, has a good place in a relationship, but most unbelievers do not know what real and conditional the love of God is, because they do not have it, or they haven't asked for it. They haven't believed in Christ. You start to know real love when you believe in Christ, when you are part of His family. You know that God loves you no matter what, and He will never quit loving you. You know, and if that's the only thing you have, That's our land. Because His strength, His hand, and His love are very, you cannot run away from Him. So, that's very good. John 3:16, for God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, for whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish. Love, not perish, but have everlasting life. So, His love is good, and we shouldn't be complaining, oh, nobody loves me. That's not true. Or I'm alone. We are not alone. We might be lonely, but we're not alone. God is with us, and He loves us. I remember one time when I was very mad. I was going to work because I had to go to work. You know how life is in these United States? You have to go to work, or there's no money to pay the bills. Anyway, I was very mad, and I didn't want to pray, and I just was throwing a fit. Have you ever seen a Mexican throwing a fit? You don't want to see him. I was throwing a fit. I was driving. I was going to work, but I was not going to work very happy. I'm usually a morning person, and in the morning I like to whistle and sing and make a lot of noise and make everybody unhappy. And that morning was different. I had a fight, and it wasn't too good, and I didn't get my way, so I was very unhappy. And I remember my hands shaking like this in the steering wheel. I was smoking, and I saw a license plate in front of me. It says Agape 4, and then a letter U. And I thought, Lord, you have to talk to me in Greek so I can understand you. Well, sometimes He does. And after I read that, I thought, what a dumb thing to do, to throw a fit and not count my blessings. Everything changed after that. So I'm kind of emotional too. I like to see those things. God talks to you in Greek sometimes. Yeah. That's why I put the Greek in here. Maybe He'll telling you something. Start walking straight. Get up and walk straight. Okay. Ephesians 5:2, walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up for us. Did He have to do it? No. But He did it because He wanted to. He loved you. He had us in mind when He went to the cross. Yes, He did. Every one of us. Now, if we know those things, and if we know that people are perishing outside, what do you think the Lord wants us to do? A walk. Take a little walk. And say, God loves you. God loves you very much. Sometimes just people need to hear that. Because there's a lot of hate in this world. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of apathy too. In this world, He gave Himself up for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Walk in love. He also was loving us when He was walking uphill. And He also was loving the Sadducees and the Pharisees when He told them, you are a bunch of snakes. He also loved them. Love is not just, I love my puppy dog. Look how cute. No. Love is not just that. Love is also, you better correct yourself. You're behaving like a snake. You have poison. So, it has a good reaffirming, corrective sense, and it also has a nice, loving sense, warm, fuzzy. love is interesting. Ephesians 5:8, for You were formerly darkness. It doesn't say you were in darkness. This is a very strong verse. It says you were darkness. Remember one passage where the Lord says, if the darkness, if you, how does it, George, help me. If the things that you have are darkness, how much is, something about darkness, the whole thing darkness, you know. The light of your, yes, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. How great is that? How great is that? And here Paul is, I'm sure he has that in mind when he says, you were formerly darkness. It doesn't say you were, yeah, there's another verse that says we were walking in darkness, yes. But this verse says you were formerly darkness. That was you. You were darkness. And it's not talking about color. It's talking about our nature before Christ. We could do the works of the darkness. We were working for the wrong boss. I'm glad now we have a choice. We can say no to our first boss. You know, he didn't give us too much, that's for sure. I'm glad Christ knows how to give. You were formerly darkness, but now, this is a big change, but now you are light. It doesn't say you are in light, you are light. In the Lord. I mean, can you walk in darkness still? Can we walk in darkness? Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. When we're not in the Lord, when we're divorced with Him, from Him, we can still quench the Spirit or make Him sad, be out of fellowship, and walk in the darkness. And we wanna try to avoid that. Walk as children of light. This is a beautiful, it almost looks like John should have written that, but Paul also understood that part. Children of light. Walk as children of light. That's a beautiful verse. Now, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Remember the song, oh, be careful, little feet, how you walk. Where you go? Yeah. It's funny to see. I had two workers at one time, and the father and the son, and the son was walking behind the father, and the father had something wrong with his knee, and he was going like this. And the son didn't have nothing wrong with his knee. He was young and healthy. But the son was also going like this. And he thought, well, this is a normal way to walk. That's how my father walks this way. I think I should walk that way too. And I thought that was kind of funny, you know, how we as children imitate our example. And our example is Christ. And that's good. Because we have a very good example. Christ. Walk as He walked. Follow in His steps. Yeah? Paul is also a good example because he followed Christ. So we have very good examples. We don't have an excuse of, well, I don't have anybody to, you know, to imitate. No, no, no. We have very good examples. The best. The best. Walk as children of light. Okay, Ephesians 5:15. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Why? Because there's a danger of walking different from what the Lord wants us to. Not as unwise men, but as wise. In Greek, it says, "Watch out! Watch how you're walking." Blepete. Watch it. you can do something wrong. You better watch it. I like it, the English expression, you better watch it, or watch out. That means something is about to happen if you don't watch out. Okay? What happens if you see electrical wire going like this and sparking all over the place, and you just decide to ignore it and just walk on top of it, drive on top of it? Something can happen. Something very bad can happen. Yeah. You can be, how do you say, cremated before your time. There's people who have, a lot of people have gotten killed like that, and some people have gotten killed with a TV, with the refrigerator, with a microwave, because they're not watching what they're doing, or with an outlet. It's good to pay attention. It's good to pay attention in those cases, and it's good to pay attention in this case, because when the Lord says watch it, something can happen real bad if you're not paying attention. Be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise men. Okay. Philippians 3:17. Brothers, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. Now, who is the pattern? Who is the tupos? Christ is the pattern. He is the tupos. He is the rule. So, walk according to Christ, the pattern you have in us. Okay. Philippians 3:18. For many walk. Walking is a very normal thing to do. Many walk. For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now I tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, can somebody tell me, how are these guys walking? Paul says, for many walk. But it doesn't say they're walking this way or they're walking that way. It does say it, but it's implied in the context. How are they walking? If they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Is it talking about unbelievers or believers? A lot of people think, oh, this is unbelievers, of course. Can it be talking about believers? Can a believer be an enemy of the cross of Christ? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Is it wrong to question, you know, what we have been taught? Well, if you have the Bible... For many walk, of whom I often told you, they're walking around, but they're walking around doing something that is not honorable to Christ. They're walking like enemies of the cross of Christ. That's a requires further study right there, that Philippians 3:18. Look at the context. Who is he talking about, you know? Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Interesting. So, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. Is it related to Ephesians 2:10? Yeah. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is there something wrong with studying? Can you study the Bible too much? No, you cannot study the Bible too much. But you can have an unbalanced life, and you can have too much knowledge and too little love or too little walk. I imagine if we are like that, if we have a big fat head with two little tiny feet. You know, I think of in pictures, I imagine ugly things, you know. A big fat head with two little tiny feet. We need to have the right proportion of the right, you know. One time, I don't know, sometimes I make a mistake of laugh at people, but I've seen so many kinds of people. This was one of the funniest ones in a Walmart. there was this guy that was like this. I mean, he was. And I expected to see a big, fat belly when he turned around, you know, because he was this way. You know, so you require, it requires a belly of the same, whatever, proportion. But when he turned around, he didn't have a belly. He was all flat. And I told my wife, you know what, I think he had an operation or something, because he looks this big wide, but he's completely flat. He does not have a belly. And I think, yeah. Well. So anyway, you can be disproportionate. You can be deformed if you have too much the knowledge and you don't have you don't walk the walk. You just talk the talk, or, you know, we need to walk. We need to walk, and we have a long ways to go. So why don't we start walking today, huh? All right. Colossians 2:6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. This is a beautiful verse because it tells you we know how we receive Christ, how we by faith. We believed in him by faith. And it's so simple because, well, I don't know how I'm going to walk. By faith, too. You're going to walk by faith. Later in eternity, our faith, like the song we sang or last Sunday, our faith will be able to see. We'll be able to see everything. We'll walk not only by faith, but we can see. What does the hymn says? When our faith shall be sight, is that what it says, Jim? Yeah. Colossians 3:7, and in them you also once walked when you were living in them. What's the context? Let's go look. Read it. Colossians 3:7. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked. That was our walked. That was our modus vivendi, or modus operandi, with all these characteristics, not very good. In them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. It's telling us how to walk, isn't it? Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self who is being renewed. We're not done yet. The Lord is not done with us. It's being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Isn't this beautiful? I think it is. Okay. Let's go to the next one. Time flies. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. So that you would walk in a manner worthy. It's not the first time we read this. In a manner worthy, or in a worthy manner, in a manner worthy of him, of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. One time, Dan taught us things about heaven. And I remember that class very, very good, because he described, well, if you can describe the most beautiful thing you have ever seen here on this planet, and you enjoy that, and you remember that as long as you live, well, that's not compared to the least, you know, the least amazing thing that you will see in heaven. And I think that's true. We cannot even imagine. I don't think we can describe what we'll see in His presence. We can only imagine. We can only imagine. So God is calling us, how he calls you to His own kingdom. Isn't that amazing? His Son is preparing a place for us, a house. In My Father's house there are many mansions. I am going to go prepare, therefore, a place for you. I want you to be where I am. I want you to be there with Me also. Now, when you talk to a Jehovah's Witness, he'll say, wait a minute, that's only to His apostles, not to you. I said, no. This is not the only verse. There's so many verses. If you study the book of Revelation, and you know, we're there with Him. So I think it's amazing to have a God that wants us to be with Him, not away from them. You know, you're that class over there and that class over there. No, you with Me. I think that's good. Yeah. Imagine the size of the table. Imagine the food. I remember the story about these two ladies, Ramona and Maria. And they were two little old ladies. They were 90 years old, both of them. They've been friends since high school. And they used to play softball. And Maria got sick and she went to the hospital. And Ramona said, Ramona went to visit Maria. And Maria said, well, the doctor told me that this, you know, I have 1 week, you know. Oh, no. Anyway, just in case, promise me that when you go to heaven, just promise me one thing. What? I don't know if I can make any promises right now, Maria. Ramona, yes. I want you to promise me that you come 2 days later, knock on my door, and tell me if they play softball in heaven. All right, okay, I promise. So she died. Ramona died, and Maria stayed. And 2 days later, oh, Maria, open the door, 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, it's too late. Who is it? It's Ramona, your friend. No, Ramona, my friend, is dead. No, remember you made me promise before I die that I come 2 days later. Oh, yeah. Okay. She opened the door. Well, it is you. What happened? She says, you know, heaven is so beautiful. Everybody's young, like 18, 25, somewhere in there. And we eat whatever we want, and we never get fat. And we drink, and we... Yes, we do play. I have this wonderful news for you. We do play softball in heaven. Oh, wonderful. But I also have one very bad news. What is it? You're preaching Friday. So, it's not that bad. Anyway, so heaven is good, and His kingdom is good. And it's not just, we are not promised a paradise on earth. We are promised His kingdom, heaven, eternity with Him. Israel is promised earth, you know, but still, we're going to have eternity with Him. So, anyway, 1 John 1:6. If we say that we have fellowship with him. And yet walk in the darkness. So yeah, look, we can walk in the darkness. We're not supposed to. And we have the power not to, because God gave us the power not to. We have the option. We lie and do not practice the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. I love the word fellowship. I don't know where, it must be an old English word, fellowship. I don't know the history of, I would like to know the history of the word fellowship in the English language. In Spanish is communion, like comunión. And in Greek is koinonia. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yes, we do, we should have fellowship with him every day. He should be walking in the air of the day in the garden, and we should be walking with him every day, enjoying his presence every day here. You can do it here too. But there is the other option that is not very good. Christians still can walk in darkness as long as they are in the flesh. They can walk in darkness. And you know what? When you see a Christian walking in darkness, it does, you don't distinguish between a unbeliever and a believer. That's why Christians can do awful things. Yeah. When they walk in darkness. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, and we should, as he himself is in the light, he's not only in the light, but he is the light. We have fellowship with whom? With one another. So what is the secret to have good fellowship with one another? Have fellowship with him, walking in the light. You cannot make it happen. You have to have one relationship first, you know, the vertical, to have the horizontal. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from the little sins, right? From all sin. That's one of the things about the people who do not believe in eternal security. What would be the value of the death of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, to them? If Christ is not able, like the Mormons believe that Christ only paid for certain sins, like for 40%, and you have to pay for 60%, something like that. They have that funny percentage deal. That's weird, because in the Bible you read that Christ paid it all, and not just for your sins, but for the whole world. The Bible reads completely different. So, I think it's better to stick with the Bible. Another funny thing about the Book of the Mormon, talking about them. According to the Book of the Mormon, Christ was born in Jerusalem. And when you tell them, hey, wait a minute, the Bible says Christ was born in Bethlehem, and your book says Christ was born in Jerusalem. Read it, it says there, Christ was born in Jerusalem. And they don't know what to say. They do not know what to say. Yeah. Well, anyway, the Bible is so much better. It's the Word of God. First John 2:6. The one who says he abides in him, oh, I am abiding in him, I'm abiding in him, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Okay. You have the standard. You don't have the try to be like, you have the this is how I want, this is what I want, and it's very clear. You walk as I walk. Just follow my steps. Okay. 1 John 2:11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Have you ever got the? Have you ever gone into a cave with no lights, no matches, no flashlights, nothing? You can almost touch darkness. It's very interesting. I've never been so engulfed in darkness as when you go inside a cave, and you know, and people who know about darkness say that's not all of it. There's more. That's terrible. It would be terrible to be all surrounded with real darkness. And who wants to be walking in darkness? Not very nice. But yet, we sometimes want to abide in it for some reason. And that's not good. We have a different calling, a higher calling. Well, I think I'm going to stop right here because I don't want to. I don't have all the. We don't have too much time, but read this and make a study of your own. How then shall we walk? The Bible is very clear. It's not confusing in this subject because it tells you how to walk. So let's put on our tennis shoes and let's go for a walk with the Lord. Father, thank you for being so good to us and for walking with us every day. Thank you because your hand is very powerful and your love is everlasting. Your love never ends. And thank you because in spite of us, and your love is conditional and it does not depend on us or what we do. It depends on you and who you are. Thank you for your word that tells us how to walk as children, walking behind the Father, you, Lord. Thank you for your Son who is our example. And thank you for people like Paul and Peter, all the apostles, and all the, who wrote the books and telling us how to walk. And also, Father, we have so many examples in the Old Testament of how we should walk in integrity, how we should walk in His law, in His way. Lord, we have just so many information about how should we walk that we shouldn't have any confusion on this subject. Thank you, Lord, for making things clear for us. Now help us to practice because you have given us the energy and the power, and it's just help us to obey, to trust you, and to walk straight. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.